2 weeks ago, I started the series that we paused last week for being Mother's Day, but we're going to get back into it. We're looking at the book of Titus. And we're talking back to getting back to good, getting our focus back to what is good. And 2 weeks ago, we talked about what is good, or who is good, and that is God, is Jesus. And that we need to get back to God. We need to be focusing on Him in our lives. And today we're talking about the necessity of sharing that good. Titus was in a similar situation, needing to share what is good. He was helping establishing a church where he was at. And Paul was giving him advice. And Paul tells him at the end of chapter 1, this is our verses we're going to look at today, is verses 10 through 16, he talks about the necessity of sharing what is good. And if you want to follow along in your Bibles, you can. We're going to be reading verses 10 through 16. I'm going to read the whole passage first, and then we're going to come back to different verses throughout. Starting in verse 10, it says this, "For there are many rebellious people, mere talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision group. They must be silenced, because they are ruining whole households by teaching things they ought not to teach, and that for the sake of dishonest gain. Even one of their own prophets has said, Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, lazy gluttons. Their testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, so that they will be sound in the faith, and will pay no attention to Jewish myths or to the commands of those who reject the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and their consciences are corrupted. They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny Him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good." If Paul was here, I'd say, tell me what you really think. Titus is dealing with people who are sharing things that are blatantly wrong. And it's starting to influence people in the church. It's starting to influence households of believers. So the first thing I want to look at this morning is truth itself. Because truth is good. And that's what we need to share. The truth. But what people are passing off for the truth is hurting those who believe it. My first point this morning. Their truth or the truth. Their truth or the truth. Go back to verses 10 and 11 for me here. Verses 10 and 11. "For there are many rebellious people, mere talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision group. They must be silenced because they are ruining whole households by teaching things they ought not to teach, and that for the sake of dishonest gain." Paul describes a number of different types of people here. He describes those who are rebellious, those who just want to do their own thing. Then he talks about deceivers, those who are willing to share things that are not true just to get what they want. They're willing to lead others astray. It doesn't bother them. And then in the whole grand scheme of it all, those they are gaining dishonestly. They are greedy. They are willing to do whatever they want. They're not looking at eternity. They're looking at right now and they're saying, I want this, so I'm going to say what I want to get what I want. Some of them are misguided. Some of them are doing it because they think that's right. Others, they know exactly what they are saying. And they're willing to deceive. Back in verse 15 and 16, Sam, I don't have this slide, so don't worry. I just added this last night. Verses 15 and 16 say, To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. Nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and their consciences are corrupted. They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny Him. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for doing any good. Some people know what's wrong, and it doesn't matter to them. They want what they want, and they'll do anything to get it. Some of those people are easy to spot. Sometimes it's harder to spot the ones who are sincere but are leading people astray. There are people out there who genuinely believe that what's true for Bob is not true for me. But what's true for Rick is not true for me. It's called relativism. They think everything's relative. And there's no need for repentance because I don't think I need repenting. You may think you need repenting, and that's good. You'll repent all you want, but I'm not doing anything wrong. Jesus dealt with people like this. Jesus dealt with people back like this in his day. This just doesn't start happening in today's time. This has been happening always. In Matthew 21, Jesus dealt with some leaders who wanted things their way. In Matthew 21, verse 23, it says this: Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. By what authority are you doing these things, they asked? And who gave you this authority? We have Jesus here teaching the truth, and we have these chief priests and elders coming in. They don't like what Jesus is teaching. So they're saying, by what authority? What authority are you teaching by? Because it's not the truth that they like. And then Jesus answers by testing them. In verses 24 and 25 it says, Jesus replied, I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or from men? Jesus is a smart guy. He asks them a question that knows is going to trip them up. And it's a simple question. Is John's baptism just by man? Or is it by God? And then the passage continues by seeing them debate which way they're going to answer this. Let's read it. The last half of 25 going into 26. They discussed it among themselves and said, if we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say from men, we are afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet. See, here's where you know the problem is bad for them. Because of the truth, it's just easy. You just say the truth. When it came back, when it came time for them to give an answer, like, hold on, we got a huddle. Okay, what are we going to say? What are we going to do? You know, they're getting in their huddle like this football team. They're all getting down. Okay, what are we going to say? Who's going to say this? Who's going to say that? Because they know they're in trouble either way. If they say, if John is right, then why aren't they following him? Why aren't they listening to his teachings? If John is wrong, then they are going to get attacked. A mob's going to attack them. So they're debating. What do we do? What do we say? And so, it's not about truth for them. It's about what's at stake. It's about what's at stake, what they're going to lose. It's all personal gain here. So let's hear their answer. In verse 27, they answered Jesus, "We don't know." Then he said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." They tried to slide out and just, or cop out. "We don't know. We don't know which way it is." They tried to give an answer that might please everybody. Because they still wanted it their way, but they didn't want to lose face. But at the cost of them trying to do that, Jesus called them out. Jesus called them out right there. Let me tell you, relativism is dangerous. These are people of authority that people looked up to. And all they're worried about is themselves. And people are going to them getting advice to the religious leaders of the day. Relativism is dangerous because all people are worried about are themselves. In Proverbs 14:2, it gives a great description of what happens when people follow their truth. Proverbs 14:12, "There is a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it is the way to death." Sure, the world's truth sounds good. You get what you want. It's alluring. It seems right. It feels right. How many people have answered the question, "It's got to be true because it feels right"? It just feels right. This is the right thing to do. Sure, it feels right because that's what you're desiring. That's what you're wanting. You're not looking at the actual factual right and wrong. God's way. John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." When you share and live by the truth, we must defend the truth. Because we're also defending our homes, our churches. Which leads to my second point, the necessity of defending truth. The necessity of defending truth. There is a huge necessity to defend the truth. Too often, the church as a whole has stayed silent on too many things. And that defended our faith. And with that, people start accepting falsehoods a lot quicker. Because people are afraid to say stuff. People are afraid to say the truth. Titus 1:11, Paul makes it clear. They must be silenced because they are ruining whole households by teaching things they ought not to teach, and that for the sake of dishonest gain. I think of the words of Ken Ham, founder of Answer in Genesis, who said, now to put it on the screen, "Change is one generation away." He's right. Change is one generation away. Think about it. We sit in relationships. We talked about this a little bit in Sunday school. How do we see relationships portrayed anymore? You watch TV, you see anything. How are relationships portrayed? We meet somebody, we fall in love. Have sex, maybe we'll move in together, first one being more popular, seen as normal. We cannot allow that to affect our households, our homes, our families. And it's just a step away. Or it may already be there. But again, this isn't new. I look back in Judges chapter 2. And it says this, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great work that the Lord God had done for Israel. But then you go down 3 verses later. And all that generation also were gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. We can't step by. We can't step by and not share Jesus. We can't step by and not talk to our children, our grandchildren about Jesus. Not talk to our friends, our co-workers about Jesus. We can't step by. There's nothing in the Bible that says, okay, once you have a relationship with Jesus, you don't say anything to anybody. It doesn't say that anywhere. People are talking about it. They are sharing Jesus. You may cause problems. You may get in trouble. Which is more important? You get in trouble or you don't share with somebody the most important thing they could ever know. Not to sit by and hide the truth. We can't just sit on it. That's never what God intended. We've got to be willing to go bold and share the truth. But we've got to do it in a way that is good. There's a right way and a wrong way to share the truth. We can share it in a way that'll run them off. Or we can share it in a way that's loving. But they see they need Jesus. My third point this morning, the mindset of sharing truth. We've got to share the truth. We've got to share what is good. Titus, verse 13 and 14. Their testimony is true, therefore rebuke them sharply, so that they will be sound in the faith, and will pay no attention to Jewish myths or to the commands of those who reject the truth. We're to tell them so they'll be sound in the faith. Not to run them off and never talk to them again and never have an opportunity to share Jesus with them anymore. Or to disciple them anymore. How we share the truth is important. How we share the truth is very important. Are we sharing like we care? Are we sharing with an attitude of how dare they? Just get them out of here. Run them away. When we share, our focus is Jesus. Our hearts are on Jesus, and we're focused on the truth. Paul warns them that don't get caught up in all the endless genealogies, the Jewish genealogies and mythologies. He's saying, don't get caught up in this little ruckus here and there. Go straight to the truth. Go straight to the point, to the heart of the matter. You got to remember, some people, they're just looking for an argument. Some people, you're going to share from Jesus, and they just want to fight. Those people, you love them. You share with them the truth. They don't want to talk. You go on. Maybe in the future you'll have an opportunity again. But our heart is to share Jesus. Our hearts should be to disciple. Our hearts should be to help grow those new believers and to reach the lost. Remember, there's a good way and a bad way. In 2 Corinthians, Paul is writing, and he says in chapter 5, verses 18 through 20, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us a ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against him. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We are ambassadors. This is not home. This is not our home. But we're ambassadors in this land. An ambassador for the United States goes to another country. He interacts with the other country. He acts as a liaison. He's there. He talks with the people of that country. We are Christians. We are ambassadors for God. We speak on behalf of God to share God's truth with this world. So how important is it that we know the truth and that we share the truth in a way that we communicate effectively and that we show them that we love them. We care about them. That's an ambassador. That's what we're called to be. We want to see everybody come to Christ. Some people will reject it. We kind of give them that opportunity. If they want to reject, that's their choice. Let it not be on us that we didn't share Jesus with them. Heard once in a movie I like, but the quote in this movie drives me crazy. Cringe every time I hear it. In this movie, there's a pastor in the movie who was shot, and he's dying, and he's talking to the main character of the movie, and the main character of the movie struggled with faith, and the pastor's dying words, he grabs him by the back of the neck and said, "I don't care what you believe, just believe." Sounds pretty. Sounds nice. But that's not the truth. We've got to be careful out there. We've got to be careful. We've got to stand for the truth. We've got to share the truth, because we don't want to say something that's just pretty or nice. We want to share the truth. And let me tell you, sometimes when we share the truth, it's going to cut people. It's going to hurt people. Because what we may share with them may be the sin that they're dealing with, the sin that they're struggling with. We share the truth. We share it lovingly. Because we want to see them change. We want to see them repent. We want to see them change and grow. It is so
to see them with Christ in our lives. Remember, Ken Ham said, change is one generation away. Let's flip it around. Let's have one generation go for the better. Let's see the next generation change for the good. Can't that happen too? Isn't our God a big God? Isn't our God a great God? Well, if we believe it, let's do it. Let's do it. Because I don't believe in a puny God. I laugh because I like the Avengers and Hope says that one of the bad guys is a puny God. Our God ain't puny. You're laughing because you want to. You know what scene I'm talking about. Our God is not puny. Our God is great. We don't want to see brothers or sisters or households fall. Robin, skip down to the next to last slide. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5 and 6. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as our servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Are you letting your light shine? Are you letting your light shine? Are you sharing the good? Are you sharing the truth? Because we don't want our households to be influenced. But don't let it just be that. Let it be we want to see our neighbors change. We want to see our towns change. We want to see our town change. Make the goal too small. Our God's not small. Don't make the goal too small. Share what is good. Praise team, won't you come on back up? I've got them all messed up back there for thoughts about that could be my sermon. I just went on my and just completely changed everything. So they're back there wondering what am I talking about. Share what is good. Share the truth. Today, if you don't know that good, if you don't know that truth, we offer a time of invitation that you can accept Jesus as Savior. Now remember this. This isn't the only time you can accept Jesus as Savior. It's not just limited to 11:15, 11:30 on Sunday mornings. You can call me there. We can get together. We can put you into the water and back out. I don't even need to turn the heater on. It's summertime. It's warm. It's 87 degrees. Or it will be today. But if you don't know Jesus, right now is a great time. Right now is a wonderful time to accept Jesus as Lord. No time better than present, because we're not promised tomorrow. So today, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know that good, receive Him today. Make Him Lord of your life. Make Him your Savior. Start repenting and be baptized into Him and start that new walk. Make Jesus your Lord. You can do that today. We're going to sing a song of invitation. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give.